bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Welcome back, friends. It's been a while since we've been together. I think it's been over a month since I've been in the studio. Had to take some travel time out of state to be with a friend who is in their final days in this life. And then when I got back home, got really sick with an upper respiratory infection. Wow, tough times the past few weeks, but I'm back. Happy to be back and to be with you. I hope you continue to send those wonderful emails our way. You'll get the email at the end of the episode when our announcer clues you in on what that email address is. Now, today I'm going to be, as a warning to you, talking about Donald Trump. Now, if you are a Trump supporter, don't worry. I am not here today to expose him or tear him down personally. And if you opposed Donald Trump, don't get excited, because I'm not here to talk about Donald Trump, the president. I'm merely naming him because he happens to be an individual involved in a certain issue who goes by the name of Donald Trump. I won't be talking about immigration today, MAGA in general, or any of that. What I'm going to do in this episode is I'll be exposing something that no one else is talking about. And that happens to have at the front of this issue a character who goes by the name of Donald Trump. But it could be anyone who goes by Trump's philosophies of life, but it does, again, happen to be him at this time and place. And it's not so much the issue with him personally that I'll be talking about today, but a very dark matter that has arisen in America and in Western culture that has the potential to create such a number of injustices in the world that it could very much overwhelm us. My main issue with Trump, and thus with the MAGA ideology, is something no one else is talking about, but I'm here today to get the conversation going, because the issue, again, is creating so many injustices in our current time and place. And I hope, again, to hear from you in the emails, to hear what you think about these thoughts and get this conversation going. What is my main issue? I'll name it at the front. And then we'll go back in history to unpack this. But the issue I'm talking about here is that Donald Trump is bringing into fullness the third industrial revolution. And if you've been paying attention to these podcasts and have been paying attention to the encyclicals, especially Rerum Novarum, you already know why having a third industrial revolution is such a problem for me, and should be for many Catholics especially. Industrial revolutions are something that has brought so many miseries in humans and has been exposed time and again in Catholic social teaching. But before we unpack this, let's go back in history a little bit. The first industrial revolution took place in the 1700s. In England, and it began in a place called Ironbridge, England. We see the fallout of this Industrial Revolution in the writings of Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens himself forced to work as a child in a factory in England. So Charles Dickens wrote about a lot of social issues in his writings, and I really do like to read his novels. But you can see in those novels how that the Industrial Revolution there in England and the building of these factories brought so many social injustices. It brought about poverty. It brought about pollution to the air in London, especially, and in places like Ironbridge. It brought about child labor. the tearing apart of the family and so on. And the Industrial Revolution, what it did is it took England from this place of being a farming country for so many centuries, and it brought it into an era where humans are placed into an artificial environment of factories and creates cities that became very artificial in their makeup. Now, cities, according to the Bible, if you look throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, cities have always been, and even New Testament, like the Book of Revelation stuff, cities have generally in the Bible been seen as places of wickedness. You see Cain. He murders his brother Abel. God drives Cain out from his presence. And after Cain is driven out of the presence of God, what does it say? It says, and Cain went and built cities. Of course, you've got the Tower of Babel and that whole episode of wickedness. You know, in the scriptures, Babylon, the city of Babylon, seen as a place of great satanic wickedness. You see Book of Revelation, you see Rome as the place of Satan's operations, these things. But what happened, but generally cities have been still somewhat connected a little bit for human beings. But what we see in the 1700s in this Industrial Revolution in England is cities become these places made of steel and metal and glass. It became very disconnected with nature and very polluting and very mentally stressing to humans. It is in the cities where we see these great ravages of mental illness, because humans were not made to live in those environments. You see on the internet, these pictures of future utopias where cities are, you know, you don't see any trees, you don't see anything in these depictions, but all you see is skyscrapers, trams, monorails, and everything else, and humans placed into this completely artificial and controlled environment. So that's kind of what began this process in the 1700s with the first Industrial Revolution, thus bringing about the outcries and injustices that Charles Dickens attempted to expose. And then you've got the second Industrial Revolution, which happened in America. Basically, it brought the Industrial Revolution from England over to America in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Now, the second Industrial Revolution you're probably more familiar with, because you see the abandoned factories that are left over in our modern cities. I know in Portland, I know in my hometown in Indiana, throughout what's called the Rust Belt in the upper Midwest, you see all these abandoned factories, just ugly eyesores, these industrial areas that look hideous. There, you know, in my beloved town of Portland, Oregon, so many beautiful parts of the city. If we're talking about Trump today, he called Trump like living in hell, or Trump called Portland a place that's like living in hell, which it's not. Portland's a great place to live, beautiful city. These fabricated things of riots going on. In fact, I went down the other night to the ICE facility to just observe the protests, and it was no big deal. It's just a handful of people standing, holding signs with military across street, just waiting to take them down. But again, so many beautiful parts to Portland, but there are sections of the city, the old industrial areas from the early 1900s and from the shipbuilding days during World War II. They're just hideous and ugly looking places. Place is definitely not meant for humans to be spending their lives. So we've got the second Industrial Revolution, which brings the first one into America, creates these abandoned parts of cities now, terrible eyesores on the landscapes where there used to be forests. But now, and this is where we're kind of getting into today's discussion, is this third Industrial Revolution, which is now unfolding in front of us. And this third Industrial Revolution is the revolution of technology. Again, still the building of factories. It's just that our factories now are creating microchips, electric cars, and we're creating all these data centers. But the Industrial Revolution still carries over the aspects of the second Industrial Revolution with the major manufacturing of cars and so on. But now we're getting into windmills, solar panels, microchips, data centers, and all of this, which is still taking out farmable land, taking out forests, and creating these artificial environments that humans are not meant to function in. Therefore, we're going to see an increase in mental illness. We're going again, and then in a few decades, we're going to see all these buildings abandoned and falling to the ground. It's the same thing. History just keeps repeating itself. Now, let's ask the question, what is so wrong with an industrial revolution? I mean, didn't the industrial revolutions lift people out of poverty into the middle class? People will say. Well, I would say it depends on what you want in life for human beings. What is God's desire? Is it God's desire? Did God create humans to live in the middle class? Now, I'm starting to get into some dangerous territory here because I know Pope Leo XIII really praised the fact that humans could live in the middle class, but Pope Leo XIII did not envision it happening this way, but rather people thriving by private ownership of land. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But does it lift people into the middle class? I would say maybe for a moment. And I mean, why lift people into the middle class? And I challenge you on that. I'm not against people being in the middle class. But lifting them into the middle class for what purpose? So they can own televisions and own cars and have internet and computers and, you know, I mean, is that necessary? Certainly don't want people in poverty, that's for sure. But I think we need to challenge our definitions a little bit on this. But here's why, what I see that is very wrong with these industrial revolutions. And first of all, is that industrial revolutions shift the means of production from government to corporations. Shifts the means of production from individuals to corporations. It would be a bad thing for the government to do that because then you'd have communism. Before an industrial revolution happens, you have people owning land, farming that land, growing orchards on land, whatever, and owning the means of production and thus owning the means to thrive for them and their families. But what an industrial revolution does is it shifts the means of production from the individual to a corporation. And so because of that, people now have no way to thrive. Now we have set up the structure we have now where the CEOs and the people at the very top and the investors are making all the money, and the people actually producing are left to live paycheck to paycheck. Secondly, an industrial revolution takes away the ability of people to thrive and provide for their families. Now, some may say, oh, but the industrial revolution, again, lifted the poor to the middle class. I would say yes, only for a minute, because now factory workers are back down into the poverty class. And Pope Leo had a lot to say to this, because Pope Leo saw people working in the factories as being in the poverty class, and thus he called for the development of unions or voluntary associations to deal with this. So the industrial revolutions are dangerous because they lock people into a form of modern slavery. The people on the assembly lines really are slaves, modern slaves. And the industrial revolution next puts humans in an artificial environment detached from the earth. So the moment you take down a forest or farmable land, put a factory there, you have now put, you have harmed the earth. The Industrial Revolution, too, gravely harms the earth through pollution and excessive mining. In fact, this Industrial Revolution, this third one we see unfolding before us, comes with data centers that consume insane amounts of energy and creates very little jobs. It's just a handful of people that actually works in these data centers because they can pretty much run on their own. But there's been a big complaint here in Oregon where taxpayers are getting tired of paying the electric bill for these data centers. And, you know, I've heard that one of the reasons why these data centers want to open up in Oregon is because we have so much water here, because these data centers consume a crazy amount of water and electricity. So again, we're just repeating the sins of the past of harming the earth, polluting the earth, stripping resources from people, and placing people in poverty and slavery, just in a different format, but not really in a different format. Another problem I have with industrial revolutions is that they strip humans of their dignity, because humans are no longer have a voice. And then finally, industrial revolutions put money ahead of people so that you end up with child labor. And yes, even in America, our corporations use child labor in other countries. Now, let's talk about the means of production. In socialism, the means of production is owned by the government. In communism, it's technically the means of production is owned by the workers, but never works out that way. And in capitalism, the means of production is owned by the corporations. So what do I mean? Let's say you've got your television, and you've got the company that makes the television. Well, when you've got assembly workers who are building these televisions for you to watch, who owns the tools in the factory? Well, it's certainly not the person on the assembly line. The owner of the tools is the corporation. Who owns the machines? Again, the corporation. Who owns the output? The corporation. Who owns the final product? The corporation. And then who owns the company shares? The corporate heads. So when those assembly line workers are building those televisions for you to watch, they do not own any part of that process. They simply work like a slave, and then they get a paltry paycheck and some paltry benefits. It makes it even hard for them to retire, and it breaks down their body. In fact, my father died from a disease that came from the chemicals used in the factory he worked in. My parents were factory workers. They didn't own any part of the process of building the product they built. Had they owned it, they would have been really wealthy. But the people that were really wealthy in the company they worked for were the people who weren't producing anything. The people just sitting in the offices at the top. So this is my main contention. Now, this is leading us to my main issue with Donald Trump. So just hang on. I've got to build this thing because this is big. What I'm proposing to you today is big, so I've got to build it. So let's take an example of the assembly line worker at a Toyota factory in Kentucky. The assembly line worker at Toyota uses the tools that are owned by Toyota, uses the machines owned by Toyota. They assemble the cars, but in the end, they have no ownership or benefit from it. In fact, they have to use a lot of their paycheck to do what? To buy a car. In a farming society, in a society that recognizes private property, and by the way, we don't recognize private property in America. All property is owned by the government. If you don't think it is, try blocking the government from building a freeway through your house. If you think that private property exists in America, try not paying your property taxes. Your property taxes are proof that you are only a renter and that the government is the landlords. No one in America actually owns a home. But in a farming society, in a society that recognizes private property, the means of production is owned by the farmer, the landowner. This is the opposite of what we have today. So if we were to become a society where people owned land, paid no taxes on that land, and they owned whatever was produced from that land, then you have a truly just society. The Industrial Revolution kills all of that. Now, in Rerum Novarum, to remind you, Pope Leo XIII says that the means of production should be owned by workers. Now, does that sound communist to you? It's actually not communist. It's actually quite the opposite of communist. Let's take St. Joseph the Worker. The Catholic Church has recognized St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus and spouse of Mary. But we have an expanded view of St. Joseph today called St. Joseph the Worker. Why? St. Joseph the Worker, who was a carpenter, who owned his own means of production, who built things himself and gained the income from that, St. Joseph the Worker is a protest by the Catholic Church against communism. And when you hear the Catholic Church honor St. Joseph the Worker, they're saying the church is the one who truly stands with the workers. Now let's go to Donald Trump. Why am I talking about him today? Because Trump is solidifying the third Industrial Revolution. How's he doing this? There was a partnership which made America unique, where the corporations and government had joint ownership of the means of production. How? Well, let's say, for example, Apple with the iPhone. Apple owned the means of production for the iPhone. But the government also had joint ownership of Apple. How? Through charging taxes, through regulations, and so on. So really, in America, for a long time, the government and corporations have had joint ownership of the means of production. However, Trump has done something unique, and Trump has done something very dark and very dangerous. So now is when I really want you to start paying attention. Trump and MAGA, and this is my issue, has figured out how to have government as the super owners of the means of production. The corporate heads are capitulating and handing power over to Donald Trump. So, for example, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, has capitulated and is bringing factories to America. I mean, I watched in that scene in the Oval Office where Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, brings these gifts of gold to Trump as if he's some kind of king. And Tim Cook was so weak in the knees. I don't know that Steve Jobs would have ever done that. But what happened is Trump wanted Apple to make the iPhones in America, to bring the factories to America. Tim Cook said, we're not going to do that because it's too expensive and there's too many regulations to build the iPhone in America. It would make the iPhone out of reach cost-wise for most people. So Trump threatens massive fines on Apple if they don't build the iPhone America. Next thing you know, you see weak-kneed Tim Cook going to the Oval Office and bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Donald Trump, figuratively. But gold, for sure. What was happening in that moment? You should have been very afraid in that moment, I would say that, because something very dark and very dangerous was happening in that moment. What was happening was that Tim Cook was being demoted by Trump to middle management. What's happening now in America, and then you've got Trump now converting the Rose Garden into an elitist club in that ballroom. And now the billionaires of America reporting their earnings to Trump. What's happening? All of the corporate heads are now being demoted to middle management for the government. Trump has figured out a way for him and the government to become super owners of the factories and super owners of the corporations. And I'm not talking about communism here. He did it all within the boundaries of capitalism. So now we have this never before seen bizarre thing developing here in America, where the government within the bounds of capitalism is creating the government as a superpower and super owner of all means of production and using the CEOs as middle management to make it happen. Now, again, at first Apple was going to ignore Trump, but when he threatened the massive fines on Apple, they capitulated. And then when they gave in, it's just this bizarre, sickening scene we see. Now, let's go to bringing jobs back to America. What's wrong with that? There's a whole lot wrong with it. The problem with bringing jobs back to America, and yes, I do want people to have jobs, is that it is code for we as the government want more ownership of you and the means of production. Now, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here. I really am not. Bringing jobs back to America is a code word that means we as the government want more ownership of you and the means of production. Because you see, if a factory is in another country, the corporation has power, but the government does not. But when the factory is brought back to America, then the government gains power as well. Thus, and now, a superpower. So why not promote the closing of factories and the ownership of farms by families? Why, if Trump wants jobs in America, and his agenda smacks in the face of Catholic social teaching, it's why I'm bringing this about. If Trump wants jobs in America so badly, why not promote the closing of factories and the ownership of farms by families? After all, Elon Musk has made it clear in his post on X that if you bring jobs to America, AI and robots is just going to take those jobs. So in the end, people don't have jobs anyways. So with AI and robots in mind, why not close the factories and the ownership of farms by families? Because the government loses power in that situation, and so do the corporations. Now, when I say close the factories, I don't mean that there is not a time and place for manufacturing. I mean, even in ancient times, people manufactured chariots, right? And they made tools and built massive structures and cities. But what I am saying is, what is wrong with companies closing factories here and putting them in other countries if it allows consumers to have a better price and provide jobs to an area that may desperately need the jobs? Why not allow that and stop forcing factories to be in America, instead promoting farming and land ownership to give Americans more control of their lives for the benefit of their families? After all, that is something that Pope Leo XIII really brought home in Rerum Novarum. Why? Again, because the government loses power when that happens. What Trump is doing, and this is dark and dangerous, what Trump is doing is a massive historical power play over you and over me, and the sad fact is that MAGA has swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Now, I'm originally from Indiana, so I fly there sometimes to see family. In Portland, there's no love lost for Trump, but in Indiana, it is in-your-face MAGA, and people there are not even questioning like I am today. But let me remind you, again, that I am not pro or anti-Trump. I look beyond the politics and I try to see him as a human and pray for his salvation. His politics, however, do have dire consequences on the immigrants I serve daily, but my hope is that this is passing and we'll quickly get back to sanity as a nation. However, back to our main point, we must expose the super ownership of the government over manufacturing and jobs, because your neighborhood will suffer grave injustices in the coming years as a result if it's not stopped. You'll experience more pollution in your neighborhood. You'll experience more noise, more traffic, all of those things. Now, this goes beyond Trump, okay? That's why I'm trying not to get too locked in on Trump as the president, just as the individual. Because this goes beyond Trump, because he's president temporarily, and as he's getting quite old, he's won't be on this earth for a long time anyways. But MAGA could grow and carry on for many years this ideology of forced American manufacturing that could have grave consequences. Again, I want to say this, I am for jobs here. I mean, promoting Catholic social teaching, I'm very much in favor of everybody thriving. We need jobs to care for our families, but again, why not land ownership and farming? And by the way, let's talk about farming. Do farmers own the means of production now? No. The means of production is no longer owned by the farmer. It's owned by Monsanto and other companies like them. When I go to Indiana to visit family, I see all kinds of fields with Monsanto signs on the farms throughout the state. So even farming in America has become industrial. So we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up. Quit lying to ourselves that this is no big deal. We've got to wake up. That's why I'm trying to get this conversation started, because I cannot believe nobody is talking about this. But we are in for some very historically dark times if we don't wake up and stop this America First nonsense, which, by the way, America First, if you're a Catholic, you should not buy into America First. That is not the Catholic way to think. The Catholic way is that all people and all nations matter to God. But everything that Donald Trump is doing smacks in the face of Rerum Novarum. Weakening of the unions, the forced labor of people, the taking away of farms. I mean, it's funny now because I've spent quite some time studying, preparing for this episode. And since I've began studying, preparing, now the farmers are crying out and starting to complain about Trump. Well, duh, what did you expect? But what does this all have to do with your neighborhood? It has everything to do with your neighborhood. If all these factories come back to America, it could cause your neighborhood to be overrun with industry. It could cause more pollution in your neighborhood. It could cause the loss of jobs. Because even if we bring the, quote, jobs back to America, eventually robots will take over and we are without jobs anyways. Again, this is why farming is better. Another problem and why it's going to harm your neighborhood is that factories and industrial zones take away farmable land. And as they build more industrial areas, they'll have to build more freeways to get the traffic in and out. Your neighborhood loses its identity as a neighborhood. It gets cut into pieces. So, to end out this episode today, and I appreciate you hanging on, you might have to listen to this again because it's a lot to consume, but it's a conversation I'm trying to get started. So, what can you do? Well, first of all, you can speak out and educate others. Share this. Just blanket share this podcast with your family and friends. Educate others about this potential harm. Invite me to speak at your neighborhood's association. I mean, I could come in person or I could speak on Zoom or Teams. We could have a chat. We could have a talk at your neighborhood association, at your church, or any type of association you're part of. I would be willing to either come in person or on Zoom to share ideas and get this conversation going. Next thing you can do is threaten to pull your vote from representatives. If your representatives are buying into this America First, all the jobs back in America, try to educate your representatives and threaten to pull your vote from them. Say, hey, listen, yeah, we want jobs in America, but we want private property. We want ownership of the means of production in America without communism. We want other countries to thrive too. We don't want to rob them of their jobs so that we can selfishly have our jobs here. Next is threaten to not buy certain products if they're not allowing the benefit to be for the workers. And then finally, just get creative with this. I grew up in an industrial city of factories galore in the Midwest. The city, when I go back to visit, it's pathetic. The city is now home to empty factories that are literally collapsing on themselves. And the Midwest is full of that. England also has its areas of ugly, collapsing buildings due to the inevitable outcomes of industrial revolutions. Industrial revolution is not sustainable. It is ugly in appearance and harmful to both the earth and the human spirit. It is right in your neighborhood. May God give us wisdom to see beyond artificial industrial complexes and return to the beauty of the earth. I don't mean in such a way that we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Well, but then again, maybe that is it, and we are just justifying our laziness to not return to Eden. May God open our eyes to see the destruction and control that those in power have in mind for us, and to have the courage to once again join in God's creative work as we create, care for the earth and one another right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.